As mentioned, is a special day for us on a couple of accounts. It is our anniversary. I can remember 7 years ago when Jenny and I, together with others, were praying about would God have us start something here in Korea. And I can remember we started that in our lounge, in our living room, in Suji, and it soon. Actually, we started in a noodle bar. That was before even our lounge. I can remember some of you have maybe heard the story before. It was in Bundong, and a noodle bar. I said yes, and Jenny and I had put out some small advertisements around. We were doing a little Bible study, and we had put out some things. Matter of fact, I had gotten a little overboard with putting out some posters in Bundong. I got a call from the city council saying, come take all the posters down. And we had this first evening in a restaurant, and some people, we sat there. Jenny and I bought all this food for all the people, the throngs of crowds that were going to show up, and no one showed up. And we came back the next week, and a few people showed up, and we kept coming, and more people showed up. And then we moved it to our house, and then we traveled a little while to different venues, and then we settled in here eventually. But it's been incredible to see. It's great to see the people that are in this room today, but because of the nature of the congregation and the kind of demographics of the various people who are involved, we've had a lot of people pass through here. And maybe you've made some friends over the years, if you've been here for a little while, of people who have come and gone and are now back in different parts of the world. And that has actually been one of the strengths, I believe, and the beauties of this congregation, is that it's so diverse. It is connected to so many places around the world. Jenny and I could have never imagined that we would have that many friends in so many different places, and that God would actually use those friendships for his purposes. So it's exciting to see what God has done in a very short space of time, 6 years, and it's also encouraging to see what God is going to do next. I truly believe with all my heart that the church is not just a meeting here on a Sunday morning. Can I hear an amen? All right, good. But that it belongs to a celestial body of Jesus Christ that is doing something cosmic in the universe, accomplishing the will and purpose of heaven. And we are a part of that grand scheme that God is implementing throughout the ages. And we are playing that out just in one small part here, but it is exciting to be in a church that is active. It is exciting to be in a church that believes that there is a mission still to be done here on planet Earth, and that we're not just polishing ourselves, trying to do better Christian self-improvement, but we're interested in getting on with the Great Commission and the task of carrying God's message and hope to people who have never heard it before. And maybe that's new to you. Maybe church has been something else to you. But I believe that we've got to constantly shake ourselves. We've got to constantly reevaluate what we're doing so that we can stay fresh. Because once you think you've got God figured out, you've got the Holy Spirit cornered, you're usually the last one to figure out that God's doing something else. And so we need to stay active and in tune with the Lord. And that comes down to our personal lives, in our time of fellowship and communion with the Lord, of listening to his voice, learning to follow him, learning to obey him regardless of the consequences, and being used by him as his instruments and agents here in this world to accomplish incredible things. If you're living for yourself, you're missing out. If you're living for money, you're missing out. If you're living for your bank account or pension or your career ladder or to build a better resume, you're missing out on something eternal. You got one shot. David said, I've got a lifetime here. Maybe it's 70, maybe it's 80 years. Then it's over. It's that short space of time that you have here on this earth that will make a difference for eternity. Use it wisely. Don't spend it all on yourself. Don't spend it all on just making your life better. Spend it and invest it into eternity. And that means that you're making an eternal impact and difference in this world. And that means that you're living for something that you can't see. You're living for something invisible, the eternal things of God. Well, I'm not going to preach before get into our mission stuff this morning. I do have some thoughts that I want to share with you here in just a little bit. But as we've mentioned, today is also our Mission Sunday. And for those of you who don't know, or maybe this is your first time, or you're rather new to the nations, we're active and involved in getting the gospel where it's never been before. And the vehicle that we use to accomplish that is through the organization of Mountain Child. And you'll see a table there at the back of the auditorium here that you can go by later after the service and learn more information about what Mountain Child is doing. Mountain Child is situated in the Himalayas, and that is actually not that far from here. It is just about a five-hour plane ride, direct flight from Seoul to Kathmandu, Nepal, where the headquarters of Mountain Child is. We've been working there for really almost the last 15 years now, and seeing God use individuals and lives to establish the church where there is no church. And it's hard to imagine, perhaps, in a place like this, where you can go out at night and see red crosses, as many as you want to count, looking up into the sky. Perhaps where you have come from, there are a number of churches. Maybe you've had access to the Bible all of your life, but there are communities and places around the world who don't even know what the word church means, who don't know or have never heard the name Jesus Christ and don't know what that name means. I was just recently in a village in Nepal, and I asked if they had ever heard of Jesus. And for those of you who know Scott Smith, who is a part of the Mountain Child Network, everyone thought Scott Smith was Jesus, one of our workers. And I had to say, no, Scott is not Jesus. So somehow he got the reputation of being Jesus in the Himalayas. I don't know if he's self-promoting that or what he's doing, but I put a stop to it. So many people have never heard that name before, and it is to them that we feel called. They deserve to know. We are commissioned by the Lord, commanded actually, to go and tell them. And this morning, instead of me just standing up here and talking to you about something that's happening on the other side of the world, or not that far away, but certainly in the Himalayas, we've got some video for you this morning. Now, this video, I need to set it up just a little bit. It's rough and it's uncut. So we just filmed this last week, and some of it is of me talking on screen, but on location, and some of the projects that we're involved in. And so just be forgiving, if you will, with some of the rough nature of the video. We shot a lot of different series of videos, actually short videos, that for this morning we've just kind of put together very loosely. So to give you a little bit of an idea of the type of work that Mountain Child is involved in. Now, why are we just talking about Mountain Child? Well, it's important for you to know, because this church, 10% of everything that comes in through our tithes and offerings goes directly to work amongst the unreached, where no work is being done except through a select few organizations. So we're putting money into a myriad of different projects. You might say, well, can't you just walk in with a Bible and start preaching in these areas? You could, but you might not last very long. So there are some other wiser methods. If the Lord says do that, great, do it. But there are some other methods that we also employ, because many times there are some real needs that these communities and unreached areas in very impoverished areas, some real needs that they have in life. And some of those are health issues. Some of them are educational issues. Some of them have to deal with the trafficking side of things. And so we are also using those things as a platform for the gospel into unreached areas. So that means that we're involved in schools, we're involved in helping to build schools, we're helping in medical areas and helping to build health posts, we're helping with clean water projects, we're helping to rescue children and women out of the trafficking movement. All of these things we're using. And then what we find is that as we reach out to these people with the love of God in very practical ways, inevitably, they ask the question, why are you here and why are you doing this for me? And then we can say, well, glad you asked. We've got a great answer for you. And we can share God's love with them in the scripture in a way that they can understand and that is relevant to them. So the video that you're going to see here in just a moment is shot in several different locations, and some of the information here repeats itself just a little bit, so bear with us. We didn't have time to edit it all. This is just fresh, shot last week. So guys, why don't we go ahead and start that? Maybe we can also dim the lights.
This is Jack
here
Reed.
Today with Mountain Child. We're at Kathmandu International Airport, and I'm excited that we have a team from the United States with us that is focused on the medical issues here in Nepal. We're going to be taking a flight, actually two helicopters, this one behind me, into the mountains. What would normally be about a 7 to 8 day walk, we're going to accomplish in about 30 minutes by taking the helicopter. We're going to be going to the remote mountainous valley of Nupri, where the people of Nupri live, and where Mountain Child has been working over the last decade to bring improvement through education, through health, and just about any way that we possibly can to see a real community-wide transformation occur in amongst those people. And I'm excited today that we're going to be hosting a medical camp. We're also going to be looking at our school that we've helped partner with over the last year, and just continue to carry hope to these people in remote communities. I appreciate all of you who are following us and who have made some kind of contribution, maybe in coming to Nepal and joining us out here, or by your financial support. We appreciate that. I just want you to see today that we are serious about addressing the issues, really five core issues that affect the lives of these people. Number one issue is health. And as soon as you go into these areas, you see so quickly that health is why it's number one, because the alarming statistic that half of the children in the Himalayas will die before their eighth birthday is, it really hits you in your face when you come into contact with people in these villages. And today, we're going to be meeting with some serious cases. They're bringing actually people down from several days' walk to get the attention, to get to these doctors. And we're hopeful that we can provide some solutions and really begin to change some lives, maybe one at a time, but make a real impact. And so again, thank you for all of you who are behind us, supporting us, have given money. It's a worthy cause, one that we are dedicated to achieving over the next several decades. So if you can, come join us in Nepal. Thank you for all of your support. Hello, the nations. It's Pastor Jack here. I'm coming to you from the very remote mountain Himalayan community of Nupri. You've heard me talk about these people for a long time now, and right over my shoulder are part of that community and tribe, the Nupri people. Today, we have flown in here by helicopter with a team of doctors from the United States. Our intention is to both survey the compound where we're at, which Mountain Child has played a significant role in helping partner with a school and construct a school here, also a clean water project right behind the camera. And but really what drives us and brings us here are these people. These people have yet to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, have never heard of a Bible, a pastor, a church, or just simply that name Jesus. And we believe strongly, I know you do as a church, that these people deserve to know. And how will they hear unless a preacher goes and tells them? And that's why we have joined hands together. That's why we can come to places like this. Your giving is making things like this a tangible reality. And I'm excited that we can partner together, that your prayers and your support and the teams that have come can make such an impact into a part of the world that has been forgotten by many but not forgotten by God. So I just want to extend an incredible, I can't even find the right or big enough words to say thank you so much for your labor, your investment in places just like this, and your continued faith and prayers that we can bring these people into a living experience and relationship with our Savior. God bless you. So we're filming today here in the remote Himalayan Valley of Nupri, and behind me you'll see a crowd gathered outside the local school building, which Mountain Child is happy to be a partner in. But a team of doctors from the United States have flown in today to see as many patients as possible. The head count so far is a little over 100. They have brought people with some real extreme cases. Many of the people that you see down there have walked in from several days away, and obviously they'll be walking back later this afternoon, and will take them quite a while to get back home. But while this is a short-term thing for one day, it is just one effort that we're making. We're also having the ability through this time and the doctors here to hand off some important educational and training material on medical issues
that will hopefully be in the hands of some of the villagers that have received some form of health training, that as they go back to their villages, they'll have a little bit more information, they'll have a little bit better, be better equipped to diagnose things that are presented to them, and hopefully some of these health issues that are so rampant in this part of the world can slowly begin to change. It's going to take a long-term effort, and this is just one part of it. But we're also grateful for these teams that continually come through Mountain Trout from around the world, bring their skills, bring their education, bring their expertise to bear upon parts of the world who just a little bit goes a long way. And maybe you have seen some of our videos, you've checked out our website, and have questioned, what could I do in Nepal? I think this is a good sign. You might not be a doctor, but maybe you can love on people. Maybe you can carry medicine. Maybe you can carry some books, and we can distribute throughout some of these communities. Maybe you can come with a camera and with a video camera and film some of these things to help us put these communities and people on the map and help show other parts of the world the attention that is really deserved here in these very remote areas.
The little girl you see behind me on the makeshift gurney is a girl that has been featured on our website, and her story, I believe, has captured many hearts. About 2 years ago, she suffered a traumatic wound to her face, and as a result of the lack of medical attention in this area, and also combined with some of the superstitions, an infection spread through her face that really has brought a tremendous amount of disfigurement to her. We brought her to Kathmandu. We were able to get her into surgery. A team of doctors did an operation on her, and all looked like it was on the right track. We found her today here in the village, and she's still suffering. And, you know, you'd like to think that you could solve these problems by addressing them and applying some of your resources and then walk away and know it's done. But the reality is that suffering sometimes continues. And this little girl, she's suffering today. And I don't share this story with you to try to tug on your heart, but just to really show you the reality and the conditions out here that fortunately we've got a doctor here who's able to have a conversation with her parents and relatives to find out what we can do. But some of the frustration out here in trying to bring hope and certainly some lasting hope in these areas.
This is John and Soyeon Thompson.
This is John. I'm standing in Kathmandu in the art space with my wife Soyeon. This is some of the art supplies that we use to do a therapeutic art class with some trafficking survivors. And many of these supplies have been donated through your regular giving at the Nations and through other charity hikes and things that are happening in Korea. So we're so thankful for all of these supplies. Once a week, we have trafficking survivors come to this space. And Sayan's going to share a little bit about what we're doing in that.
It's a great opportunity for us to not only give them a space where they can express themselves freely and think about different themes, but it's also a great way for us to share the gospel and to introduce the or give them tools to understand the freedom that they can have in Christ. And so two to three of the women who have been coming are not Christians, and they're at homes that aren't safe, homes that aren't Christian. And so it's a great opportunity to witness to them. I just want to share a little bit about some of the art projects that we did. First, we had somebody donate disposable cameras, and so we took them to the zoo, and we kind of talked about the differences between freedom and captivity. And so I had them take photos of animals in cages and to think about them in the wild where they do belong, and just how that relates to their own personal lives. And I really think that although many of them still hesitate a little bit to share their experiences, I believe that they really were impacted and were able to start thinking about freedom versus captivity. And so like this one, we had them take the photos, one of freedom, one of captivity, and we kind of cut them up in half and showed almost like a prison, and she's peering out of the prison hoping for freedom. And this is, and then afterwards I had them collage an animal back in the wild, so they enter back into the wild. And so this lady said that she saw an elephant that looked really sad at the zoo, and all week she had been thinking about him and how she wanted to create an elephant that was colorful and beautiful and could enter back into where it was supposed to be. And so I think that they're really starting to get that. But one example of how we're able to bring in the gospel message is this lady, actually the same lady that drew the other one. This is a self-portrait that I had them do blindfolded. And so they... and there's a lot of reasons why we did that. I won't go into all the details, but one message that we were able to share at the end when we did the art interpretation was that maybe, you know, somebody said that this part was a tiger, and how this looked like a tree, and this was a river. And during that session, I had the God gave me a verse, Psalm 1, I forget the verse, the exact verse number, but how those, the trees that are planted by streams of water will have, yeah, will bear fruit. I don't know the exact quote, but they... we were able to share that verse and talk about the living water, who is Jesus Christ, and how, you know, in the midst of their suffering, like this tiger coming into them, they're still able to stand strong like this tree with when they have that living water.
This is Jack Reed.
Here in the village of Gap, in one of the isolated, remote valleys, Tibet is just to my right, just a few kilometers, and I'm excited to be able to show you today this slow sand filtration water project that we have conducted here. Just one of many that we've been doing up and down this valley and also in other areas throughout the Himalayas. You know, water, clean water, is one of the keys to improving health conditions in this part of the world. You might have seen it on our website, or if you've gotten any of our literature, then you're probably... you've heard it talked about quite a bit that half of the children in this part of the world die. And the leading cause of death is diarrhea and can be traced right back to unsafe drinking water. And so this is what excites me about a project like this. Water comes in from a captured source that we have above. It goes into a holding tank. It's fed right down here. You can see the bubbles kind of coming out of the pipe here. Water makes it down through different courses of media that are in here. The sediment that is in that water gets trapped, even the microorganisms. It comes out the bottom clean and is fed to a village tap where the community can wash dishes, get drinking water, do whatever they need. And one of the great things and strategies behind a project like this is that it's completely sustainable. It's not built with outside materials. It doesn't need outside people. You give people just a little bit of knowledge and they find all the resources necessary to construct something like this. And you would start empowering a whole community to change the future of their tribe and of their whole area.
This is Scott and Sarah Smith.
Church. This is Scott and Sarah Smith, and we're in Kathmandu right now, standing outside of our guest house for the Explore program.
And we've had a really busy last couple of months, and recently we actually had a team from the nations come, and we had a great time. We got to go to a remote village and just encourage some local Christians there and do some children's programs. So we had a great time. We thank you so much for all your support, for sending people, and just the partnership we have developed with you. Thanks, nations.
This is Jack Reed.
I'm excited today to be able to share a small story with you of the people who are behind me, who are made up from the Nupri people. They are of ethnic Tibetan origin. Tibet is just about 2 kilometers to my left. And these people have remained remote and cut off from modern progress and technology for hundreds, thousands of years. And a part of being cut off means that they have not had access to the gospel. They have never heard of a Bible. They've never heard of a pastor, a church, or even the name Jesus Christ. And what motivates us to be here today and into the future is really simply found in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, a scene that describes a number of people at the throne of God that cannot be counted. They are gathered there from every single tribe, tongue, and nation. And currently, right now, there is a lack of representation from people and communities just like this, buried deep in the Himalayas. And our efforts, together with many others over the decades, are working to bring this powerful message to them so that they can experience the living power of Christ and come into an eternal fellowship with God. I hope that you can keep these people in your prayers. I hope that you can remember their faces, that as you fall on your knees, it's people like this that fill your requests and petitions to God, that laborers are raised to come into this part of the world, that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Please join with us in this incredible endeavor, and I'm hopeful that one day as you stand in heaven, you'll see some of these faces maybe standing next to you all the way from remote tribes and communities in the Himalayas. God bless you.
These videos can be found on mountainchild.com.
All right, there you have it. So I think it's great for us as a church to be grounded in something that is making an impact in a part of the world that has really needs attention and has really been not on the radar of many people. And you know, there are so many stories that I would just love to be able to tell you of just, you know, in this last couple of weeks of things that happened. Perhaps one, you know, very sobering encounter that we had with a team that I mentioned there of doctors from the United States is that we were able through, you know, John and Soyon, who you saw talking about the art program. They are from this church right here, and they are our missionaries that we have sent out. And God has really positioned them over the last year that they've been there now to where they're now chairing one of the largest anti-trafficking networks in Nepal. And God has put them into a great position of leadership there. And they're involved almost every single day in some part of what's called the Mukti Network, which is a Nepali word for redemption, at helping to address the issues of trafficking victims and survivors. And one of the opportunities that this team of doctors had just 10 days ago was to actually go into several of the brothels and there to just begin to address some of the needs of the young girls who were inside. And when I say young girls, I'm talking 10 years old in some of these brothels, which is enough. I have a daughter who's 11. So nothing will get your attention quicker than seeing young girls march in who are being used in such a way. Nothing will motivate you quicker to take action than seeing those things firsthand. Nothing will recalibrate your life to how blessed you are and how good you've got it than to be in front of victims like that who are suffering unimaginable horrors on a daily basis. And we were able to go in with a team. We were able to just simply start the process of listening to them. You know, I hope we can talk about it here on a Sunday morning, but I don't mean to be, you know, rude or any too graphic, but these young girls, they don't even know how you get pregnant. That they've never, they're void of the types of conversations usually that moms have with daughters. They've never had those conversations with moms. Their moms aren't around. And so these young girls are completely ignorant when it comes to a lot of the female things that they experience and even how they get pregnant. So it's a mystery to them. So just starting to open up those conversations with these young girls, the doctors were able to do that. We were able to love on them. On the back of that, we saw in 2 days, we saw over 100 young girls. And there are 50,000 50,000 just in Kathmandu alone. Really, really staggering. So I'm grateful for the work that John and Soyon are doing. We should be proud that right here from this church, they're there, and they are leading a spearhead movement to bring change and not just address this on a natural level, which it needs to be done, but also on a very spiritual level of introducing them into Christ, which will not just free them from the natural bonds, but free them from perhaps we can't imagine the emotional and spiritual bonds that they have experienced inside. And it's a very successful program that they're running. But we've also been able to develop some of relationships with some of the survivors in those programs and victims, and are been able to get them into some treatment here just in the last couple of days, which I'm very excited about. So I say that to you because I want you to know that your investment and you as a church body are making an impact in a part of the world that if no one does anything, these people will continue to suffer in silence. But I praise God that there are people around the world that are willing to do something. And maybe you're here and you think, what can I do? Well, maybe you can join the prayer network that we have right here in this church and begin to pray about these issues. Maybe you can financially be a part of helping to gather the resources necessary to make an impact. Maybe you can go. Maybe you can talk about it. Maybe you can raise awareness. Maybe you can help put these issues on the map. As I mentioned in the video, this is just one issue, the trafficking, but it certainly is a big one and one that is worthy of all of our attention, all of our efforts. So I would ask that you continue to keep this right on the forefront of your prayers, right in your heart. Sometimes, you know, as I have been in these situations, there was a situation that I was in just here recently, matter of fact, in that camp, which wasn't on film, where they brought a young girl in who had fallen into the fire. And pretty much she was gone. And there was nothing that the doctors could do there on location. We had offered to take her back on the helicopter. Her parents refused because they wanted to take her to the monastery to have the monks do their ceremonies over her. Things like that are really sobering, really, really difficult to handle. But I tell you, I think as the Church of God, and I would encourage you, if at all possible, one of the best things for your life is to keep face-to-face contact with hurting humanity. If you live in a sterile Christian environment, it can all become so clean and just, as I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, just about what happens here on a Sunday morning. But when you do like Jesus did, the first runner of the church, when you get out there in the gutter where hurting people are, where people are imprisoned, where people are struggling with some of the real issues of life. And I know that you don't have to travel across the world to do that. You can find it right here. But I want to encourage you as a church, as Christians, as sons and daughters of God, keep yourself in front of hurting people. There will be nothing better for your Christian walk, nothing better for your Christian experience than to have face-to-face time on a regular basis with people who, if you don't deliver something from God to them, it puts a demand on you. It certainly does. You'll find out that, wow, maybe I need to pray a little bit more. Maybe I need to go a little bit deeper and draw something from God's word because I don't have in myself what it takes to bring help and hope to these people. You start to draw on a source that is greater than you. You start to plug into the impossible, the miraculous nature of God where nothing is impossible. And God can begin to flow through your life to touch people in ways that you never imagined. And so a little plea this morning in our missions Sunday, stay in front of hurting people. Don't just isolate yourself again around your own community, around your own what could be a self-centered lifestyle where you just have an obsession with your personal needs. There's a great book that a man by the name of Jim Ramo wrote about one of the reasons for the severe decline in career missionaries going to parts of the world like this over the last 50, 60 years. Number one reason was that people in the church today are obsessed with personal needs. Yeah. So, not pointing any fingers, but how many of you could say it's a possibility that we, even in the church world, could become consumed with just our own well-being and with our own, how we're just doing ourselves. And there are multiple ways that you can be involved. Again, prayer is a big one. Please join with us in those prayers. And this task, this eternal task of bringing the message of Jesus Christ to places who have never heard it through practical aid and development work, sometimes through rescuing people, is really needed. One of the young boys who maybe if you all have, some of you have traveled to Nepal, one of the young boys who was actually rescued almost 12 years now, when he was just a young boy, now he's 19, Norbu, who was found in a barn. He had been tied up with the animals for several years. We had been able to do a rescue. You know, I was just with him in that remote valley of Nupri in January. So on that trip, we flew in by helicopters, which is great, and flew out by helicopters, which is done in 30 minutes. But the other way to do it is to walk in for 7-8 days and walk out 7-8 days. And I had, at this last trip in January, I was walking, and I was with, of all people, Norbu. And Norbu, this was the area that he came from. We were coming up to his house and village where he had suffered such a great abuse, the barn that he had been chained in for years. And I was kind of wondering, he had been back before, but I was just kind of wondering, what was his reaction going to be? How was this still emotionally playing out in his heart? And I can remember that as we went up there, he was filled with love. He was able to embrace some of the abusers right there who had inflicted this pain on his life. He was able to give to them. He was able to love them. He was able to share the gospel with them. And it was such a incredible thing for me to witness and be a part of, just as an observer, just watching this play out, how God was using someone who the devil meant evil for their life, but God had turned it for good. And now God was using someone who had suffered such unimaginable torment. God was now using them to bring other people out of torment. And what a powerful message of redemption. And I know that we have people sitting here today, and you've got stories in your life of things that you've gone through. Maybe it's a little different than some of the stories that you've heard here today or that I've been talking about. But we all have a story. We all have things that have happened to our life. And if we get stuck in those things, and if we allow that pain to linger in our life, then we find ourselves chained to a stump in life, never being able to move forward, never finding the freedom that is made available to us in Christ. It's there. Sometimes I know it's a challenge to apply, but it's there. All of you, I believe, have access to the good news of Jesus Christ. This is truth. Truth is a liberator. It will set you free if you but pick it up, dust it off, read it, ingest it, and allow the Holy Spirit to make it alive in your life. Something can free you in this book. There are people that I know God can put in your life as well that will help you in that process. And then you can get busy in life, not with being bitter, not with being upset about things in the past or being held by things in the past, but you can get on in life in being used by God to bring freedom to people who really need it. And unless someone like you enters their life, they might stay in bondage for a long time. Can I hear an amen? Just being really real with you here this morning, the need for the church of God to grow up into maturity, no longer be tossed to and fro in this world by every wind and wave of doctrine that blows through, but are stable, that are founded and grounded in Christ. We know that His Spirit has come to live and reside in us. We know the tools and the package we have in salvation. We know what it is to be born again and free from God. We have the Holy Spirit, who is an empowerment to walk free from sin. God has given us His own life. He's given us His word. He's given us direction and a purpose in this world. Now, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to make use of these things for the kingdom of God? I want to encourage you this morning. Don't just sit by idly. Don't allow life to pass you by. Know that you have an opportunity in this world. It might be right in your family where you live. It might be in your workplace. It might be with that heathen boss you have. I don't know. Or those heathen workers that you're in front of every day. I don't know. Maybe they're good people. But someone in your life needs you today, tomorrow. They need you and God working through you. if we could just get us out of the way and allow God to work through us to accomplish his wonderful bidding, think what would happen in this world. I believe it's actually how God designed the church to be. I believe he envisioned something more than huddling once a week. Yeah, I believe that he had a greater plan in mind. And when he says that his mission was going to the highways and byways of life, I think he really meant it when he stood on that mountain in Matthew chapter 28 and gave a commission. He said, all the authority, think about it, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I'm now placing it into your hands. Go and make disciples. Go into the world. You know, the disciples of that day, they actually took it serious. They had a vote there in Jerusalem. They didn't vote and appoint people who were going to go. They voted and appointed people who were going to stay. Who's going to stay behind and help with the affairs and the duties right here? The rest of you are going. So it was about 90% go, 10% stay back and take care of business. I don't know what we've done today. So far as a church, we've sent one couple. I don't know the percentage of all the people who have been through here, but I know it's very small. I'd like to be involved in somehow changing that statistic. So I haven't bought a plane ticket for all of you yet. You're not out tomorrow. Don't worry about that. But what I am pleading for is an adherence to the commandments of Christ to go into the world. The disciples took that serious, all of them, apart from two, died on foreign soil, a martyr's death. They took it serious. It was their natural reflex and response to Christ's life here in this world, that they believed that they had to go. They went. They went to India. They went to Egypt. They went to Syria. They went to Armenia. They went to other places throughout the Middle East, getting the gospel where it had never been before. This was the early church in its infancy and cradle. This was their response to Christ's commandments. And I think sometimes today, and I try to evaluate my own self as well and my actions, are we living in the same response in that radical obedience to Christ that we'll obey him regardless of the consequences? Yeah, and that's easier said than done. But let's be involved in a church. We are involved in a great mission here in this world. I am so grateful. I tried to find the words on the video. I struggled to because there's not enough words to express the gratitude for your investment in so many different areas and also financially as a church, that we can be used by God as a very, I believe, very sharp instrument. Not a blunt one, a sharp one, to accomplish God's purpose in a part of the world that needs it so desperately. So I would encourage you here after the service today, you can go back to the table, you can avail yourself of some of the information back there. I'll be back there as well. I'd love to answer as many questions as I possibly can. If you want to know how you can be involved, how you can maybe go, maybe you have some skills that you can offer into this part of the world, talk to me, and we'll work this out together and find out how we can marry your great gifts with a part of the world that really needs them. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your words that have come to our heart today. I thank you that there is a mission in this world that is greater than ourselves. It's greater than this church, but it's not greater than your global church. And I thank you, Father God, that we can be mobilized as the army you call us into the front lines of this world. Lord, that we have been empowered, we have been equipped, we have been commissioned by a mighty Savior to go into the highways and byways of this world and compel men to come into salvation. Father, we have your mandate, we have your mission, we have your Spirit within us. Guide us and lead us in great courage and bravery, Lord, into places that have never heard your name before. Father, I believe Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, that one day there will be, as you declare in your word, a great multitude in heaven that is brought before your throne, gathered from every single tribe, tongue, and nation, declaring your praise, singing the song of the redeemed, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to him who sits on the throne. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Father, there are hundreds of thousands, millions, perhaps even greater, of communities, regions, people groups, languages, tribes, of people scattered across this planet who have never known that message and who currently right now would not be a part of that great scene in heaven. But Lord, let it be our great pursuit in life and in ministry to bring those people into the living fellowship and experience of your presence in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that out of their lips one day will come those words, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Father, what an incredible task to join hands with you in. Father, we find that as we join hands with you, we are empowered by your Holy Spirit. You said in your word and in Acts, "You shall receive power to become bold witnesses for me in all parts of the world." Father, we want power not to just make our lives better, not to just do our own thing, but power to make an eternal impact for your kingdom. Maybe you're here today and you have, for something that has taken place in your life, you found yourself just focusing on you. And maybe that's been okay for a season. Maybe you've gone through a lot of things. You've experienced some heartache and pain in life that you're just having a difficult time getting over. I understand that those things can be very real. But I want to join with you, and I know the heart of God today, that freedom can come to your heart, that you can get healed, that you can be restored, that you can be made like new again, which is the offer God grants us in salvation, that he would make all things new, that you can find everything you need of in Christ, that healing, that freedom from the things that have plagued you in the past, that you can bury once and for all those things that have held you back, and that through it all you can have a testimony of God's saving, miraculous strength and power in your life. Once you were lost, but you've been found. Once you were chained, but now you've been loosed. Once you were in prison, but Christ set you free. Now you've been empowered. You've been liberated to become a liberator. You've been loosed to set other people free from the bonds of the enemy, the lies and deceptions that have held them back. And you're moving forward in the great grace of God, the empowerment of God. And that God begins to use you greater than you can ever imagine, that his words flow through your mouth, that his healing touch flows through your heart and through your hands, and you bring healing to those who are hurting around you. Father, thank you for a work that you're doing in hearts, even right here this morning on a Mission Sunday, that you are helping us over the hump that sometimes we get stuck at. Lord, to recognize that there are people waiting on us, waiting on the testimony of our life and your great work through us to bring healing and hope to their future. Father, I thank you for ministering healing in the hearts of your people here today, and leading them into the freedom, strength, and purpose that is only found through Christ Jesus, our triumphant King, the one who leads us in a great march into the front lines of this world to declare Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is King. There is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved except the name Jesus Christ. And how will these unreached hear unless a preacher goes and tells them? put within us a deep conviction worked by your Holy Spirit to carry this message into the world we live. Father, I thank you for the work in our heart today and into the future. In Jesus' mighty and powerful name, amen.